Praise God, praise God, praise God. Welcome, everybody. What a great way to wrap up November, right? Last day of November. Everybody's full of Thanksgiving feast and just having a great time, relaxing, enjoying each other. Praise God. We're going to finish up strong in 2025 and head full blast into 2026 in the name of the Lord, okay? Praise the Lord. We open in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise, we worship, we glorify your holy name. We thank you for all you've done for us and all you continue to do for us. Lead us and guide us in everything we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message is turn it around for good. Wow, praise the Lord. Most of us need turnarounds in our lives. Almost everybody I talk to is having a challenge of some kind, and we need a turnaround. So let's talk about turnarounds. Let's have some fun with this today, okay? We're going to have some fun today. Have a good time. Go into the holiday season. Praise the Lord. So, turnarounds God did in the Bible. Now, God turned around for Joseph as noted in Genesis 50:20. Now, that's where Joseph said, what the dumb for bad, God will use for good, right? But if you think about it, you look back in chapter 41, what if Joseph had given up in prison and didn't stay true to his calling? What if he quit? What if he says, I give up? I'm sure most of us have probably felt that way. Maybe not you. You know, you're the exception. But, you know, bottom line is most of us probably felt like, you know, I've been working this for a long, long time. And we have. It's been a challenge. I understand that. But a lot of times God wants you to persevere. And, you know, without Joseph's perseverance, there would not have been no food in the famine. His family, the future Hebrew nation, would not have been saved. Just because you're meeting massive resistance does not mean you're not on the right track. It may mean you have to persevere, but the key word is hearing from God to learning what to do right now. Okay? Joseph's faith and forgiveness became the key that turned his trials into triumph, fulfilling his God-given destiny. Joseph was given a vision at a very young age. He saw his father and brothers bowing down to him. At that time, he did not know it was going to take him to all the perils he went through. You all know the story. I'm not going to repeat it all here today. But somewhere during that time, he had to forgive and be patient and stand in faith. What do we say? Faith and patience. We talk about that a lot here. Faith and patience. And too often, especially in this microwave age we live in today, people are in a real big hurry. Can I get it done yesterday? I turn my computer on, it takes 10 whole seconds to warm up these days. My goodness gracious. What's wrong with this thing? It should be instantaneous. Several years ago, I was at a function. I was watching my nieces. They were channel surfing. It was going so fast, I couldn't even see what was on the screen, but that's how fast they were going because it was not what they wanted. They knew it right away, but it's how fast things were going. But sometimes we need patience. Now, the key here is we need to hear God's voice. If we're on the wrong track, we need to make the adjustment. If we're on the right track, we need to persevere through. But the key word is hearing God's voice. God's never going to steer you wrong. You must always be attuned to that. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is being attuned to hearing God's voice, doing the right things the way God tells you to do, doing what God tells you to do, not what God tells somebody else to do. Just because he's telling somebody else to do something, it may not be for you. You have to hear God's voice always. Okay. Now, I'm putting my cards right on the table today. The team ministers to a lot of people. And a lot of people want that magic wand to God. And sometimes it happens. Some pray for people, they get an instantaneous healing. Boom, just like that, and that's fantastic. Okay? That's great. We love that. But sometimes the Lord tells us to tell them to do something. Maybe say a number of affirmations, or maybe it's do something else, or take communion a couple of times a day, whatever it is, okay? And we'll talk to him the next week, and we'll say, what's going on? He saw the prayers didn't work. Why not? Well, it just didn't work. Well, did you do what he told you to do? No. Well, If you didn't do what he told you to do, why did you expect the prayers to work? Let me repeat it. If you don't do what you're told to do, why do you expect the prayers to work? Now, feel free to take anything I say to you or anything the team says to you to God and say, God, I need clarification. I need to confirm that this is what I'm supposed to do. That's fine. I got no problem with that at all. Nobody's ever come back and said, you know, I went to the Lord and he told me I wasn't supposed to do that. And if it did, I would have gone back to the Lord and prayed for confirmation. In fact, my wife and I settle discussions like this. We'll pray about something, reach around our notes on a pad of paper, we'll compare them. And 9 times out of 10, they are the same. When they're not, we go back to the prayer closet and pray again. Okay? But the point is, we do what God tells us to do. If you're given instructions from a pastor or a senior person, or a minister or mentor here at the church, you're supposed to do it. Don't complain to me when you're not getting your prayers answered. You want to turn around? We do what God tells us to do. Now, I do have an outline today. I'll ask Pastor Matthew to post it, but it wasn't finished till late, so you will get it later. You know, God works through you to bring the turnaround. Okay, God partners with believers who hear and do his word, as it says in James 1:22. That's James 1:22. Be a hearer and doer. Now, what if Noah did not obey God to build the ark and bring all the animals into it? Now, there's a guy with patience. How many years do you have to build the ark? And he had to patiently do it. He had to lay the keel. Had to put the things that's what God told him to do. It took over 100 years. I think it was 150 off the top of my head, but it's a long time. But the bottom line is, he didn't get to year 130. He says, that's enough. I'm quitting. This isn't working. There's no rain coming. He finished what he was told to do. With faith and patience, he pushed through to finish what he was told to do. And he was ridiculed and mocked by all the people around him. But he knew what God told him to do. Now, you're getting a lot of that from your coworkers. You're getting a lot of people in your family that aren't quite at your level. They're saying, oh, that doesn't work, or you don't need to, oh, those affirmations don't need to be done. I know a gentleman, a very good friend of mine, was at my wedding. He was told to do a certain amount of affirmations. Another person, God bless him, told him, you don't need to do those affirmations. The person at my wedding is now in heaven. He didn't do what he was told to do. He didn't say, I got a confirmation of the Lord. He said, so-and-so said I need to do it. Therefore, I don't need to do this. Okay? Your choice. Get confirmation of the Lord for everything you do. Okay? Noah did complete the ark, and the family was saved. Praise God. All the mockers learned they were wrong too late. You're going to be challenged with things. You've got a call in your life. You're told to do something. You know it's from the Lord. If you need confirmation, the ministry will have a prayer with you, get you confirmation on anything you need. But you need to push on toward that mark. And don't quit because the world says it doesn't need to be done. Okay? Let's talk about Moses a little bit. Okay? What does Moses do? He's on the backside of the mountain. Here's from God to go, let his people go. Goes down there, talks to Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh says no. Bad things happen to people who say no to God. Plagues came 10 times. Let my people go. No. Another plague comes. Let my people go. No. Another plague comes. Okay. Finally, they can't take it anymore. Finally, the firstborn of anybody that's not marked with the blood dies. Go. Get out of here. And they pay them everything they have, the spoils of Egypt, to go, the richest nation in the world at that time. Okay? Go. And then while they're gone, on their way, Pharaoh decides, what did I do? I let them go. And he changes his mind and sends all of his army after them to bring them back, to re-enslave them. They get to the Red Sea. What are they going to do? They're going to surrender back to the enemy? They're going to ask God what to do. What does God say to do? God says, Moses, put out your staff. And he parts the Red Sea. And he basically tells the people to follow Moses through the Red Sea. As the Red Sea parted and the walls are up big and they're all walking through there, the Egyptians are riding in their chariots and coming up fast behind them. And they get there and they say, oh, the Red Sea's parted. Let's go after them. And they go into the parted part of the Red Sea. The problem was God did not tell the Egyptians to go into the part of the Red Sea. They followed somebody else who was told by God to do something. They didn't say, what should we do? They didn't say that. They went after him. What happened? They died. Don't follow what somebody else does unless God tells you to do it. Okay? What happened? God told them to go to the Red Sea. They went through the Red Sea on the other side. Praise God. God defeated the most powerful army in the world at that time. In a fell swoop. Who knows how long it took? An hour? But who knows? In very short time. Didn't have to throw a spear, shoot an arrow, nothing. Okay? What happens? They get to Jericho. And the spies are afraid. They can't go in there. God told you to go. He just went you through the Red Sea. What are you worried about? They heard from God. Moses told him to go. Now Moses is listening to his 10 spies and not the two that are with him. They're on the right side, right? What happens when God tells you to do something, you don't do it? Well, in this case, they stayed in the desert for 40 years till they died. But the two ones who heard and wanted to do finally got to go through to the promised land, right? They heard and obeyed, and they pursued through. But those who didn't died. Bad things happen to people that don't do what God tells them to do. You're given an instruction. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm telling you, when God tells you to do something, he's going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to instruct you how to do everything you need to do. Okay? Joshua finally crosses, gets into the promised land, gets to Jericho. God says, walk around it one time for 6 days. On the seventh day, walk around it seven times and blow your trumpet. He did exactly what he was told to do, and the walls collapse. He didn't stop at 5 days and say, oh, this is too much. He didn't stop at the seventh day, going around it five times. He completed the duty. Okay. What happened? They take Jericho. They listened to God. They heard and obeyed. Then what happens? One person steals something from Jericho. They lose the next battle. And that person's family is killed. We must obey God. Now, I'm not talking about a wrath here of God. I'm talking about how we need to obey God. Now, we are under grace here. And that's a great thing because Jesus is here and we're under grace. But the bottom line is that because these people have obeyed God completely to the letter that God told them to do, they had huge victories. So if you have a turnaround coming, and you need a turnaround coming, we're going to listen to God. We're going to get his instructions. We're going to follow them exactly as he tells us to do. And the victory is ours. Now the benefit is that because we're under grace, if we make a mistake, we have ability to recover from that. Okay? All right. What if David didn't obey God to become the next king? But he did. He did what he had to do. He didn't come back and kill Saul. He waited for the right opportunity for God. He had patience to wait till God made him king. He didn't push it. Okay? Now, each turnaround requires you as a believer to take a leap of faith and move forward. This is what we're talking about. Too many of your plans have been put on the back burner waiting for the right time. The devil makes sure there never is a right time. Okay? You have to go through it. Right? Now, faith requires action before you see the results with your physical eyes. Your belief will cause you to see it first with your eyes of faith, referred in Hebrews 11:10. Okay? They had to see themselves crossing the Red Sea. They had to see themselves in victory every time they do it, before it actually happened. Okay? You must see your victory. You must see that vision in front of you. Plant that vision in front of you, victorious. Whatever your turnaround challenge is, maybe it's that new position you need for a job. Maybe it's family restoration. Maybe it's a healing. You need to see that victory and see that victory and see that victory. Now, what does Jesus require you to do? To be an obedient hearer and doer. When you're in your prayer time, whatever the Lord tells you to do, do it. Is it tough? Probably. It's probably going to be a challenge. But it's not a challenge you can't handle. God's never put too much on your plate that you can't handle. But it's going to be a challenge. Why? Because your challenges make you stronger. Your challenges are preparing you for the end times that are coming. We have some very serious challenging times coming. If we don't prepare now, we're not going to be ready for it. Okay? Let's go to New Testament. Peter is fishing. Jesus says, put your net on the other side of the boat. Peter said, I've been fishing all night. I'm not doing that. Not of obedience. He put his nets on the other side of the boat and got that huge, huge, fantastic catch. He was obedient. There was an instantaneous result for that one. That's fantastic. Sometimes it's not. Isaiah planted in the famine. Took a whole season for the crop to grow, but he was still obedient. Okay? Obedience to God can only be done by hearing his voice correctly. And that's a key here. We push through to hear our voices correctly, to hear God's voice correctly, continuously. And how do you do that? As full as our schedules are, set some time out to pray, quietly listen for the Lord. And the more you do that, the more you hear his voice. When you hear something that really sounds weird, it may be him. Get confirmation. Feel free to call any of the prayer staff. We'll be happy to confirm with you and pray with you and get a yes or no go at it. Okay? We're here to support you. But the goal objective is that when we're not around, you can hear God's voice. You won't need us. Okay? You won't need us because you're going to know that you know that you know God's voice because you've heard it so many times. You'll know. Okay? No. Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. This verse emphasizes the importance of God's spoken word as a means through which faith grows stronger. The more you hear God's voice, the more success you have, the more victories you have, the stronger your faith is going to grow. The more testimonies you're going to have, the more people are going to come to you and talk to you about those testimonies. And they're going to see your victories, okay? God's word must be voice activated to function in the spirit realm. We say this a lot. You must speak it into being. Call those things they're not as though they were. You have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, past tense. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We do 20 of those every Sunday with you. Okay? Why? Because you're calling it into being. You're calling it into being. You're speaking God's word, using God's words. You're affirming the word of God. How important is that? It means everything. The word of God is your power. It's your power base. The more you use it, the more you know how to use it. Let me give you an example. Last Wednesday, my wife and I celebrated 31 years of marriage. To this day, I must tell her 6-8 times, I love you, honey. I'm so glad you're my wife. I reaffirm my love for her. Does she know I love you? Yes. Does she know it 31 years ago I married her? Yes, she did. Why do I say it? I just reaffirm it for her. I want her to hear it from my voice. I want her to be confident in the fact that I'm still there with her, that no matter what challenge the world's put upon us, I love her. And she does the same thing for me. I affirm my love for her constantly. So I affirm God's love. I love God's word too, and I affirm that constantly over challenges and situations. And that's how we have victory over things. I've been saying for a while now, I'm going to say it again here, this ministry is about to go across the nation around the world. You're going to be the catalyst for victories and testimonies. You're going to start to spread, and the word's going to go out. And these great teachings that have been cocooned here for so long are going to explode and bless people by the thousands and hundreds of thousands and hopefully millions who will get the revelation they need to get ready for the end times. And it's because you have done your part to put your prayers into this ministry. You're ready to go now. You've built your foundation. Your foundation is strong. You know your word. You know the ABC works. And this is where we're going with this. So listening to godly teaching is a vital aspect of maturing your faith to believe in God's word. As you hear these words, take them to heart. Not just to head knowledge, but into heart. As you get them into your heart, you're going to start growing in more and more in faith and confidence. We're having great testimonies. We have people out of wheelchairs lately. We have wonderful testimonies. My vision is a wonderful testimony that I can actually document a 25% improvement in my vision. Now, what does that mean? My vision was so bad they couldn't actually measure it with most things around you. I'll give you an analogy for that. Somebody goes to the gym and the gym scale weighs 300 pounds. They step on it, it's over 300 pounds. Maybe they're 320, 310, who knows what it is. They don't know. They still are over 300 pounds. They lose weight, they step on it for 50, it's at 250. They can document 50 pounds. They can't tell you how much more than that because they don't know. That's what the thing is, my vision. I can document a 25% improvement in my vision simply by the prayers and things we're doing here at ABC. That's documented. Was it more than that? Yes. I just can't tell you how much it is. I can't prove it. I can't quantify it. Okay? But if you're having a challenge in your life, it's probably in case that you're not hearing God's voice as clear as you should be, which would guide you to avoid these challenges to begin with. Now, affirming God's word is the powerful faith tool. So John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Okay? We have to know God's voice. We have to hear him enough. Now, God speaks quietly sometimes. Very rarely does he yell at people. Usually he's giving you instructions quietly. He expects you to listen. Okay? Now, you cannot follow Jesus, our shepherd, well, if you don't have a good relationship to hear his voice correctly, or if you don't ever see him. This means you need to develop those skills better. If you haven't learned it on your own yet, you must sharpen those skills better. Attend all the services at ABC Church or watch the videos if you miss a service. There's an anointing here, and we have testimonies that people are hearing God's voice better all the time. But many people are not doing what they need to do. They want the magic wand of God, like we talked about earlier. Yes, I'm telling you, if you want to hear God's voice, you have to do some things. You've got to be pure in heart. You're going to have to spend time with him. Attend as many ABC services as you can or listen to the videos, replays. They're put on there for you to do that. Yes, you have to schedule some time to do that. Yes, it's going to be some work. Okay? But is anything worthwhile ever not worth some work? Okay? Acts 22:14-15. And he said, the God of our forefathers has destined and appointed you to come progressively to know his will, to perceive, to recognize more strongly and clearly, to become better and more intimately acquainted with his will, to see the righteous one, Jesus Christ the Messiah, to hear a voice from his own mouth and a message of his own lips. If you'll be his witness unto all men of everything that you have seen and heard. I'm going to repeat that one. Acts 22:14-15. And he said, the God of our forefathers has destined and appointed you to come progressively to know his will, to perceive, to recognize more strongly and clearly, become better and more intimately acquainted with his will. This is what we're trying to do here. Noah was acquainted with his will. Moses, Joshua were acquainted with his will. Joseph was acquainted with God's will. Okay. Peter was acquainted with God's will when he walked on the water. Then he got afraid and we had challenges. But when he was associated with God's will, he was walking on water. Now, Jesus didn't tell anybody else in the boat to come out. He called Peter out. Okay? Now, if one of the other ones had tried to walk out there, it probably wouldn't have worked as well because he wasn't called by God. He wasn't instructed by God to do that. Only Peter was called. And that's the key point here. What is God telling you to do? As unfathomable as it is to walk on water, Peter did it. So God may give you something unfathomable, but if he's telling you to do it, rest assured he's going to support you on it as long as you do what he's telling you to do. Okay? To see the righteous one, Jesus Christ, and to hear a voice from his own mouth and a message from his own lips, for you will be his witness unto all men of everything that you have seen and heard. I can safely say that every one of us wants to see Jesus Christ. I can safely say that you've seen him, you want to see him again. We've been blessed at 633 to see him 31 times now. The testimonies are remarkable. What's really exciting to me is that not just Pastor Karen and I seeing him, but other people. Sometimes other people will see him first. He is showing up. So if you want to see Jesus Christ, I encourage you to start coming at 633. Give yourself some time. Doesn't happen every day. Be patient. But he does show up there. And maybe you'll see him too. And I believe that you will. Because we pray for everybody who comes to 633 and Jesus shows up to see him. Right now, about half of them who are there actually see Jesus Christ when he comes. We average 24 to 30 people, so between 10 and 15 people on a good day will see Jesus when he shows up. I'm encouraging you. Rework your schedule. Is it worth it for you to change your schedule a little bit to come and see Jesus? Oh, I got to get up early in the morning. And don't see Jesus. But you know, then don't see Jesus. Okay? I'm not telling you to do it. I'm making a suggestion for you. You ask the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit tells you to get up, get up. If he doesn't, don't. That's okay. Our goal is to encourage you that Jesus is at hand for those who are willing to do what he wants you to do. Spend your time with him. Listen to him. Do what he tells you to do. Have your turnaround. Start those testimonies going forward. And watch the people flock to you to get to know Jesus. All right. Let's talk about some turnaround scriptures. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. John 11:40. Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? I think we all want to see the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us in a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In Ephesians 3:20, Pastor Sarah's favorite verse, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. This is for you to receive and hear the Lord and see the Lord. Each act of obedience position you for breakthroughs, because God is faithful to turn it around for good. Whatever your challenges are, we can turn it around for good. I have an affirmation for you. I recommend you say affirmations continuously. But you tell Joshua, these words do not depart out of my mouth. Okay? So repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, according to Acts 22, verses 14 to 15, I praise you, Lord, that you are the God of my forefathers. You have destined and appointed me to come progressively to know your will, to perceive, to recognize more strongly and clearly, and to become better and more intimately acquainted with your will, and to see you, Jesus, my Messiah, the righteous one, and to hear a voice from your own mouth and a message from your own lips every day, continually, and in the name of Jesus, I am your witness unto all people of everything that I see and hear that you, God, are teaching me. Amen. Now, this time I said, Heavenly Father, that made this a prayer. When you do it from now on, it's an affirmation. You pray once, you believe, you receive it, that you do affirmations, as you've talked in the healing schools. When you get the download on this, just do in the name of Jesus and go on from there. That's all you have to do. Because you're affirming the words I've spoken over you. Now, this anointing is so strong right now, I'm just going to send it forth. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise and glorify. I send this anointing forth to every person here today or future on the internet, that they hear your voice and receive you and see you, Lord, in Jesus' name, as they want you. They humbly submit to you, Lord. They come to you now, Lord, to receive you, to receive you, to receive you. Their goal is to follow you, Lord, and take away any distractions of the devil or any lack of clarity, that they discern your voice, the enemy's voice, and they hear and see the truth, and only the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that'll be our closing prayer. Thank you. Praise Lord Jesus. I just go on to communion offerings, praise reports, and announcements, and I just pray everybody receives this today. This has been such a fantastic and fun message today. It's been so anointed. The anointing here is so strong. It's been great. I just hope you're receiving it all right now. Okay, if you know of any sins, confess them now. If not, please repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I am not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, thank you for cleansing me of all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. 1 Corinthians 11:24 says, when Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Please repeat this with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I give thanks to you, God, for the turnaround that Jesus made by sacrificing himself when the body was crucified on the cross. Now I can live a life of healing, health, and wholeness with nothing missing and nothing lacking and nothing broken in my life. Now, in remembrance of what you did for me on the cross, I take your body and eat it as you commanded. Let's partake together and eat the body now. First Corinthians 11:25-26 says, in the same manner, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Please repeat with me. I thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood paid the price for our new covenant. So now, whatever the devil has meant for evil has been turned around for good. And I can learn to hear the voice of God, my Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit more clearly. In addition, I also have a glad expectation to see you, Jesus, my Messiah, and the Holy One, and hear a voice from your own mouth and a message from your own lips continually. Thank you, God, for daily showing me any areas of my life you want me to turn around for good. Now, in remembrance of what you did for me on the cross, I drink your blood. Let's partake this drink together, the Lord's cup, in remembrance of Jesus Christ. All right, so our 20 affirmation, we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Everybody ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. One more. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Praise God.